You're listening to Decisive Point. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the authors and are not necessarily those of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Army War College, or any other agency of the U.S. government. I'm talking with David J. Katz today, author of Strategic Art for Sanctions, which was published in the spring 2024 issue of Parameters. Katz is president and CEO of DARACOM, a strategic competition advisory firm. Welcome to Decisive Point, David.
Thank you for having me on Decisive Point. I think we're at a decisive point, both strategically and tactically, in regards to the use of sanctions.
In your work, you take on Russia's invasions of Ukraine in 2014 and 2022 as a case study to assess whether sanctions have been effective in deterring or compelling Russian aggression in Ukraine. What were your findings?
In response to Russia's 2014 and 2022 invasions of Ukraine, the EU adopted 12 packages of sanctions over that time frame, and in turn, the United States has sanctioned 10,173 Russian individuals, 4,089 entities, 177 vessels, and 100 aircraft. In total, Russia has been subjected to more than 14,000 sanctions. That's more than Iran, Cuba, and North Korea combined. So the question we have to answer is, have sanctions been effective in deterring Russian aggression or compelling Russian cooperation in Ukraine? And from a military perspective, based on operations in Ukraine, sanctions have been irrelevant. Now, from a political economic perspective, the state of affairs is more ambiguous, and I think we need to look at the numbers, particularly across the Russian capital economy, its resource economy, its GDP, the state budget, and its budget deficits. And the numbers are fairly compelling. Sanctions have had a significant effect on the Russian capital economy, specifically the Russian ruble, the external value of which dropped by approximately 30% when the EU imposed its 10th package of sanctions on February 25, 2022. However, by June of 2022, the ruble had more than recovered. Now, what we can say is over 10 years from 2013, before the invasions, to 2023, the ruble experienced a 63% drop in value. If we look at the Russian gross domestic product, it fell just 2.1% in 2022, and then it grew by 2.2% in 2023. International Monetary Fund forecasts Russian GDP will grow by 2.2% in 2024. Russia's economic resilience relies heavily on the country's resource economy, mainly oil and gas production, which has remained consistent for more than 10 years despite sanctions. Russia's new budget, which President Vladimir Putin signed in November of 2023, projects the state's revenue will grow by more than a third in 2024. Russian deficits, even under sanctions, remain stable from a planned 2% of GDP in 2023 to just 0.8% of GDP in 2024. So what we can say is that the more than 14,000 sanctions imposed by the EU and the United States have not yielded decisive results in constraining Russian aggression in Ukraine or punishing its political economy.
You also explored American geostrategic successes and failures from 2001 to the present. Tell me about what you found there.
The United States is currently emerging from the Global War on Terrorism, or GWAT, into peer competition. The strategic and operational art employed during the last quarter century bears critical review. The last clear strategic victory for the U.S. military was Operation Desert Storm, which began in January of 1991 and concluded in February of that year. The core of the war on terrorism, Operation Enduring Freedom, had initial tactical successes, but ultimately was a strategically irrelevant diversion of resources and effort, costing somewhere between $2 and $8 trillion and ending ignominiously by unilateral U.S. withdrawal 20 years later on, in August 30, 2021, from its continuing operation, Operation Freedom Sentinel. Over its lifespan, Operation Enduring Freedom spawned a variety of subordinate, equally strategically irrelevant military operations around the globe, collectively and colloquially referred to as the War on Terrorism. Now, although Operation Iraqi Freedom succeeded in removing Saddam Hussein from power, that operation's strategic success is ambiguous at best due to a poorly planned and incompetently led U.S. transition from combat operations. And ironically, Operation Iraqi Freedom resolved the long-standing regional conflict between Iraq and Iran in favor of Iran. Operation Odyssey Dawn resulted in the death of Muammar al-Qaddafi and the collapse of the Libyan state, which unleashed chaos in northeastern Africa. The global war on terrorism's cascading series of incoherent, strategically irrelevant military campaigns demonstrates the paucity of strategic competence guiding projection of U.S. power. Put simply, the United States loses strategically because it invests time and money into operations that don't matter, like irrelevant military campaigns. And even if the United States had won these military campaigns, their diversion of resources and attention almost guarantees strategic failure on the policies and the initiatives that do matter.
What do you recommend instead of, or maybe in conjunction with, using strategic sanctions?
If we look at it currently, the EU and the United States employ sanctions sort of as a singular strategic action. And in my article, I link this back to World War I strategy, which maneuvered opposing armies into meeting engagements. Much like that, sanctions maneuver opposing political economies into meeting engagements. Much like World War I, sanctions have devolved into grinding wars of economic attrition rather than the catastrophic battles that settle accounts that they were supposed to. Currently, sanctions provide neither a solution nor allow for disengagement. For example, the United States has embargoed trade with Cuba since February of 1962 without strategic effect. Reminiscent of World War I tactics, repeated sanctioning, like the EU's 12 packages of sanctions, merely linearly extends the financial engagement, hoping to flank Russia's political economy and overcome its economic resistance. This repetition has not worked. Sanctions by themselves are not able to provide a decisive solution, so we need new strategic art. Part of that is contextualizing sanctions as tactics against an adversary's political economy itself requires new strategic art that can frame and guide engagements between or among political economies and then use those engagements in a campaign. Sanctions could be valuable if the United States were to use them as part of a larger campaign against, in this case, Russia's political economy rather than a one-off solution. As we've seen, sanctions can initiate chaotic changes in markets, like the changes we saw in the Russian ruble and its capital economy, and even in the European natural gas market. The effects of sanctions can be intense, but generally are of limited duration because the markets will seek new prices to clear demand and establish a new equilibrium. So sanctions, in my view, should be used as initiators for campaigns of sequential or possibly parallel operations. Sanction strategy should include initiating systemic failures, such as contagions or cascades, inside adversary political economies. Having said that we need new strategic art, we also need new tactical art. Tactical political economic engagements target the inputs and outputs and transformative processes that take place inside an adversary's political economy and the boundaries that protect them from external desolation. That's where we need to focus.
Has this always been the case with sanctions? Why did they stop working, or have they never worked as well as we thought they did?
All sanctions are marketed upon the petite fiction that they target foreign actors, such as Russia, Iran, and North Korea. That's false. In the case of U.S. sanctions, they operationally target and penalize U.S. actors and actors within U.S. jurisdictions. So in other words, U.S. sanctions are U.S. embargoes on U.S. actors and in U.S. jurisdictions that preclude their transacting with the thousands of named foreign entities. Although the target appears to be Russia, Iran, and other foreign entities, the actual target is the U.S. economy. The other side of this is that great power competition incents innovation, and innovation in this case is embodied in the increasing reach of digital financial services like Alipay. This demonstrates the futility of truncating the U.S. economy and positioning the United States through sanctions against the sweeping and inevitable trends of increasing connectivity spurred by technological innovation, which generates decreasing costs and increasing penetration because digital products and services are globally scaled. Part of the problem is that we have depended upon sanctions and designations as the preeminent, if not the sole, meaningful U.S. policy response. And because of that, these tools have become a process fetish in which the sanctioning process becomes its own justification, regardless of strategically irrelevant results. I would put forward that this diversion of attention and resources into a possibly ineffectual and inefficient approach have stymied our innovation elsewhere. Depending upon sanctions by themselves is lazy thinking that sidesteps the development of actual means and methods of projecting power. By themselves, sanctions deliver an ersatz, indirect network constraint with increasing expense delivering decreasing results.
Do you have any concluding thoughts you would like to share?
Over time, the repeated use of sanctions as the sole target of engagement erodes the tactic's impact and reduces the persistence of the tactic's effect. Adversaries adapt, these adaptations accumulate. Eventually, sanctions begin to damage the U.S. economy more than they hurt adversaries' economies. Sanctions are only one of many tactics available to engage an adversary's political economy. Other tactics must be employed, and the United States must orchestrate all tactical results within a campaign, a series of related engagements of an adversary's political economy aimed at achieving strategic and operational objectives within a given time and space.
David, thank you so much for making time to speak with me today. I truly wish we had more time.
Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate and really enjoyed our conversation.
For more Army War College podcasts on similar topics, check out Conversations on Strategy, SSI Live, and A Better Peace. You can read the article at press.armywarcollege.edu/parameters. Look for Volume 54, Issue 1.